and welcome to The Executive Appeal, a show that convenes the world's most powerful and successful leaders to share mentoring and career advancement advice to help you successfully transition into senior level executive positions. I'm your host, Alex Trimble, award-winning speaker, author, and leadership expert with over a decade of experience coaching and advising some of our nation's most senior level government leaders. So if you're ready to reach your goals, let's get started. Hello, everyone. My name is Alex Trimble, and this is the Executive Appeal Podcast. As you know, this show, along with all of our speaking, coaching, and consulting services, are laser focused on helping organizations prepare high-performing leaders from all backgrounds to successfully transition to and excel in VP and senior VP executive level positions. And if you and your organization are serious about developing diverse and highly effective executive leadership teams, one, you're in the right place. And two, I encourage you to visit us at gpsleadership.org or reach out to us today at team@gpsleadership.org so that we can discuss how we can work together to help you and your organization reach its leadership development and culture elevation goals. Executive Appeal, this podcast, is now one of the top five most popular shows in the world. And this didn't happen by accident. It was you who made this happen, and it will be you who determines the continued success of this show. So please, if you find this content helpful, if it helps you grow and feel inspired and provides you with the tools to take to the next level, do us a quick favor, please. Please click that like button, click that share button, share your comments and questions in the comment section, and do us a favor and please share this episode with at least two of your friends today, because it's your support which will push and elevate this show to the next level. Now, finally, I'm so excited to announce that my new book, Relationships That Work, Four Simple Steps to Building Intentional Connections in Business and in Life, is now available for purchase on Amazon.com. Look, if you are an ambitious leader who aspires to rise to the most senior level executive level position, let me tell you, this book will provide you the step-by-step process to making your career dreams a reality. Seriously, if you're frustrated, you're doing everything you possibly can to gain the influence and the support to get that next opportunity, and you're just not hitting those goals, this book is what you need to read today. Remember, Relationships That Work, Four Simple Steps to Building Intentional Connections in Business and in Life, and you can find the link to this in the description below. Now, with no further ado, let me say today is a good day. See, today we have the phenomenal, and you will see why I'm saying this, Michael McQuarrie. See, Michael is the current Capitol Hill Communications Director for the U.S. Congresswoman Stacey Plaskett. And over 20 years of communications and legislative experience, the guy is just, I mean, honestly, he's just freaking ridiculous. We'll get into that. He has worked for four members of Congress, to include Congresswoman Eddie Johnson of Texas, Congresswoman Barbara Collins from Michigan, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee from Texas, and Congresswoman Stacey Plaskett, who is who he works for today, from the U.S. Virgin Islands. Again, he must have a really tough job there. I feel for him, and we'll get into that. In addition to his time on the Hill, Michael has served as a lobbyist for organizations such as Holland and Knight and, the Association for American Railroads, that organization. Yes. And he has also served as a congressional relations specialist for the U.S. Department of Transportation. With no further ado, how are you doing today, kind sir?
Alex, how you doing, my friend? Thank you for having me. That introduction was awesome. I thought I was on the wrong show for a minute, but, you know, you called my name. So I figured I was in the right place.
Dude, again, you are living the life, man. You are a handsome guy. I'm going to put that out there. And you live in the Virgin Islands. Life just must be a vacation.
I mean, I wouldn't call it that. I mean, life is, you know, I consider myself in a few ways lucky. And a few ways I was in the right place at the right time. I just ended up, you know, politics will take you anywhere, not just in the United States, but anywhere in the world. When I started on Capitol Hill, if you would have asked me where the U.S. Virgin Islands, specifically St. Croix, was on the map, I probably wouldn't be able to show you. But this young chap of myself, I came from Detroit, Michigan, and here I'm ended up in St. Croix, U.S. Virgin Islands. So it's a good thing. I'm happy right now. I'm happy.
Well, let me make sure, because you said Detroit, Michigan. Some people may not understand where you're from. Let me just say it real quick. He's from the D. I got friends from out there, and they would get on me if I didn't say that.
Exactly.
You talked about politics, okay? So, you know, this podcast, this show is geared towards individuals who want to, who are either at that executive level or plan or want to aspire to get to the executive level, influential level leadership positions. But I want them to understand just really quickly, this level set, what do most people don't understand about what does it mean to be a congressional staffer?
It's a passion you have to have for something that's not liked around. 90% of the people in the world do not like politics or politicians. So you have to look at it from a different perspective, from a different lens. I was thinking the day before I came on with you that, I mean, I'm considered a congressional staffer, but 98% of us, if you ask us to read a bill and what the words say and what they mean, we couldn't tell you. That's because what we do is we make sure things like that get passed. It's a lot of people who write that language in, but you have to have a passion for that. I always tell a lot of people, you know, they were like, what is it like to work on Capitol Hill? I said, have you ever seen Schoolhouse Rock? And a lot of them, after a certain age, they were like, no, what are you talking about? But when they get up, the older ones, they understand. And that's how I learned about politics from on Saturday mornings. This little 2-3 minute snippet would come up and tell you, I'm just a bill sitting on Capitol Hill. And you were like, wow, you think it's 5 steps, but it's more like 500 steps to get a bill through Capitol Hill. And it's just, it teaches you about negotiating. It teaches you about compromising. It teaches you about the world. And so politics was just, I'm not going to lie to you. I went to Jackson State in Mississippi as a pre-med major, but I had a scholarship. But they told me that, you know, I had to take Cal 3. And I had a scholarship that I had to keep. And I knew good and well that I was not, if me being a doctor wasn't going to be it. So I said, next, let's pivot to be an attorney. So I went to pre-law. And I ended up majoring in political science. Got involved in student government, became student body president, and all of a sudden I saw what politics and being on serving on boards and serving on committees and access meant. And I knew then when I left Jackson State that as being SGA president, when you get treated the way they treat your SGA president, you know, it's sort of like the president of the United States sometimes on certain campuses. And I knew I wanted to, and I saw me being SGA president, how it affected students' lives, the students. You know, and that's when I knew I wanted to get into politics. And D.C. was the place that had its hand in everything in the world politically. And I knew that was the place to be. And there I went.
You said a lot. And there's so many topics I want to dive into just from your opening statement. Let's go back. Let's start at the end and go backwards. You talked about the importance of access. Right. Yes. I'm going to keep this broad and open. I want to hear your initial thoughts. Why is access important if you want to be successful in your career in life?
Well, I always use this old adage. It's not what you know. It's who you know. Mm-hmm. It's about relationships. In order to get in certain rooms, not certain boardrooms, just certain rooms where meetings are had, it's because you know someone. You need to know someone. And D.C. is one of those cities where you 90% of the business on Capitol Hill takes place off Capitol Hill, at receptions, at meetings, at things like that. And when you have a CEO fly-in, then that's when you have them, all the CEOs of certain companies that a company represents in D.C. to fly in to talk, you know, and they have lunches. They have little, you know, dinners. That's when all your business takes place. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. Having some knowledge is definitely, definitely important. But you also have to, it's not what you know, it's who you know. You got to know the right people in the right places. And I was in D.C. for about 25, 26 years before I moved down here to St. Croix. And I can easily say that I've got to meet a lot of great people in great places. And then what you do is like chess. It's a chess game in D.C. When someone asks you what's going on or how do I do this, you have to think about who do you know and who knows that if you can't do it, someone you know can do it. And then that's how you move that person to that person. But then you got to think about when you do favors for people, don't automatically expect them to return that favor back immediately. Sometimes you got to hold on to that, but then you don't go to the well too many times either. You know, you got to be strategic in once you get to know a lot of people in a lot of areas, you can have favors like just piled up that you don't even have to go to because you've helped out so many people. And you don't do it to get favors. You do it because you want to, and that's somebody you know, and it's going to be a betterment for whatever they needed to get it done. And it'll get reciprocated to you. And D.C. is just a city like that. But don't get me wrong. D.C. will chew on you and spit you out quickly. You have to be, it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone. And then you have little D.C.s around the country. If you can't do the nation's capital, then think about a capital of a state or think about a municipality of a city. Because D.C. is not for everyone. I have seen a lot of people move to D.C. and they leave there with a nasty taste in their mouth. And I just, that's why I like to meet them when the people first get there, because sometimes you're going to meet somebody and that's going to be like, you know. But if you would have met somebody before that who took you in and showed you the ropes and this and that, the back door, you know, the speakeasies and things like that, you know, people will learn. But it's a very transient city. People don't live there for long. So you got to think about, do I make friends? Because these friends I just made might end up leaving and moving to another city. You know, it's a lot that you have to take in. And then you have to work.
you got to do that too. I actually, funny, when people ask me about D.C., I always tell them, like, but again, I'm 100% with you. I tell them, like, imagine if there is one spot, this one place where all the most ambitious class presidents go, right?
Exactly. Like
that, it's intense. It can be very, very intense. And that's not everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah, because when you go out to socialize, you say your name, and then the next thing they're going to ask you, who do you work for or where do you work? That's going to be one of the top three questions that's going to be asked. And sometimes, you know, back in the day, to be an intern in D.C. was the thing. You were doing something. And now it's like a hierarchy. Now, if you are not a legislative director or communication director or above, sometimes they look at you like you're crazy. You know, so it's a very competitive city and you got to be ready to do that. But it's fast paced. I mean, you can reinvent yourself up there, or you can think about what you want to do and make a pivot and become this. And that sort of kind of happened to me.
Well, again, you know, to that point, I want to underscore what you're talking about in regards to that access. Whether you are in politics, whether you're in business, whether you're a nonprofit, the reality is the vast majority of decisions are not made in the office. They are made at networking events. They're made, I'm going to be super stereotypical, on the golf course, but they're made out at drinks. Like, I can tell you, I can't tell you how many organizations I've worked with where, you know, people are just having a nice time out. And they discuss something and it's decision made. It's like people aren't intentionally trying to keep people out of it. It's just when you're socializing, this is why, you know, even in my book, Relationships That Work, I'm teaching those strategies is how do you go and get into access to those places? Because you and I know, look, I tell people all the time, 80% of opportunities, 80% of job opportunities, of development opportunities, or whatever it is, 80% of those opportunities are given to people via relationship. People who you're talking to. And last thing I'll say on this, I try to tell people, it's not even like heinous. Like, it's not like I don't want Mike to know about it, so I'm not going to tell Mike, but it's because, oh shoot, I know Mike. Mike might be interested in this. And it's just telling someone because you know another person. That's why these relationships are so important.
Exactly. Exactly. You're exactly right. And then it's also strategic too, because then if you figure out what you know and how you can put people two and two together and people together. And then next thing you know, you got some sort of group. And if this group comes together, we all are doing and specializing in something like this, then that's sort of a power move, you know? Yep. And DC is all about power. I tell people it's the East Coast Hollywood. And some of the people in DC, they get paid much less than these actors that are striking right now. But it's scripted out. It's all kind of scripted out in a way. But now with the advent of a entertainer being in the White House at one time, it's kind of that West Coast has made it to the East Coast in real time. And this drama that's going on right now in DC is not good drama. It's not politics. Should not be something that's played out like it's being played out now.
Well, I mean, to the point, now you bring this up. The reality is that so much, again, America, people who are listening to this, please know this. If you are watching C-SPAN, if you're watching any of those shows and you're watching someone give a speech and they're fired up about it and they're saying how they don't like this, they don't like that, and they're never going to do this, that is scripted.
Yeah.
Like this, yeah, even when you watch like testimonies of people are going after people, like literally, because I used to work with a lot of people on the Hill, like they'll say, "Hey, look, I'm gonna have to beat you up in public. I just got to do it today. But we're good. We'll go out for drinks later." Like it's theater. It's political theater.
And intense.
Mm-hmm.
Intense. And what I like about it is your deductive reasoning skills have to be sharp up here, because you got to sit back. Sometimes you're given a situation where you're getting that situation at 1 o'clock and you got to think of a scenario and then a solution by 2 o'clock. So what you have to do is you have to start thinking about it. And what I do is you got to think about the whole situation. First of all, do I have all the information I need to know? Second of all, you got to think, who needs to know this information quickly? Because you don't want someone that's a situation that involves a person that's very important, but you don't tell that person, said person. So you got to think about, when do I bring in the member of Congress or the chief of staff on this information I have? And how do I, is it something I can solve before I get it to them? Or is it something that I have to bring them in and we're going to have to solve this together? But I always tell people, I remember when I would get interviewed for being a communication director, one of the questions they would ask is, how am I with crisis management? And I would tell them this, I like to get out in front of the story ahead of time. We're going to make whatever the statement we have to make, and that statement we're going to stick to. But I need to know, as your communications director, I need to know everything that's going on. You got to bring me into the flow, into what's going on, because I'm going to be the one that's going to have to dictate and tell everybody what's kind of going on with this. And that gives you access, because as a member, as a communication director for whoever you're working for, you have to know everything that's going on. I don't need to know the intricate parts, but I need to know what the big story is. So when I go out there, I can represent you like that. And it teaches you, once you leave on from that, a lot of current chief of staffs on Capitol Hill were former communications directors. Didn't used to be like that, but it's because we think differently from as chief of staffs. We think from a communication standpoint. First of all, what's the good part of this and what's the bad part of this? Because the one thing you don't want to have as somebody that works for a member of Congress is to see that members of Congress on the front page of a paper in some sort of scandal.
Yeah.
And it's okay in a way if you knew about this scandal, but if you work for them and you don't, then what does that say about the trust that they have in you, and then the access that you're getting to knowledge and stuff that you need to know? So access comes also with people, but it also comes with information.
Well, I want to keep underscoring this and bring this back. But my last gig before I ran my business full time.
It sounds like you were a DJ when you say your last gig. I know a lot of DJs that are in the policy.
So in my last place of employment before I went full time with my leadership development business, I oversaw comms. And like you said, it's about making sure that no one is caught off guard, right? You got to make sure people aren't. And before, you and I lived the same life before I was doing that. I was chief of staff. And again, for my principal, my job was to make sure she was never caught off guard, trained her on time, never.
Yeah.
But isn't that something that like leaders at almost every level should just know, like, dude, be watchful and make sure your principal is not caught off guard. Because if something happens, at least if you know about it, you can plan and prep. But if you keep it to yourself because you're worried, you're scared, that don't look good either.
Yeah, but only thing about that though is that's a good. It comes being a leader and an executive and things like that comes. It has a good part and has a bad part, because when it comes to that, you have to keep your circle close. So if I'm running a Fortune 500 company with 50,000 people, how small does my circle have to be? It can't be just 5 people. Mm-hmm. It can't. But if I'm running an organization or something, and it's a very small, group, it's still powerful. You still have to keep your inner circle within your place of employment or wherever you're running to. It's just like friendships. Your friendship, you have an inner circle. You have a kitchen cabinet that you go to. And then what do you do once somebody work-wise leaves that inner circle for another position? How do we change up the, because they got proprietary information per se, they might be going somewhere else. And then I got to think about the next person I got to bring in, who you have to school them on what they don't know, because you bring them in this position. So do you hire from within? Do you bring somebody that's outside? Do you hire somebody that's a friend of yours from the outside? Because let me tell some people that that does not always work. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't hire your friends for everything. You can't expect, if you want to be successful, that's great. They should want you to be successful too. And your friend that you didn't hire should be happy that you didn't hire them, because it wouldn't have been good on for both of you. But who you think that, you know, that if it came down to letting that friend go, you're in a bad situation friendship wise. So think about that before you, you know, it's other ways that you can help your friends without bringing them directly into what you're doing.
Are you ready to bring your DEI efforts to the next level? Introducing Alex Trimble, a professional speaker who combines expertise and entertainment to create an unforgettable experience for DEI professionals and organizing staff. With a focus on leadership, mentorship, and relationship building, Alex is dedicated to helping organizations attract, develop, and retain diverse and high-qualified leaders. From the 12 pillars of an effective mentoring relationship to the 7 must-have leadership skills, Alex provides practical advice that can be immediately implemented. Don't miss out on the opportunity to have Alex at your next event. Contact team@alextrimble.com to book the speaker who will take your organization's diversity and inclusion journey to new heights.
You know, I want to stay on this topic of communications, because it's just so important. So I'm working with one of my clients I'm working with. We're specifically focused on helping their organization develop a culture of mentorship. So it's not just one mentoring program. They want everyone throughout the organization to really believe in mentoring and contribute to mentoring other people and so on and so forth. Right. And when we began this journey together, they asked, like, okay, what should we be focused on? And of course, you know, the programmatic things, you know, what resources you have and what the key people and so on and so forth. But I was like, you need a communication strategy. Mm-hmm. what are the talking points? Who can be pushing this out? You know, when do they push it out? Like, you need to be thinking about communications. Why communications? I'm like, dude, I mean, I didn't say dude. But, you know,
sometimes you got to talk to them like that, though. That's communicating to them. That's how they get it. You know, if you say, sir, they were like, but you say, dude, that goes to show how serious you really are about what you're saying. But go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, but again, to really quickly to your point, you know, how many times, and I'd love you to talk about this. How many times can you do a phenomenal initiative? You can create a great program, but if no one knows about it, you get no credit and no one utilizes it. And people are still upset now. So you have to be able to communicate those things.
Yeah. It's sort of like I had an instance when when I was working for Congresswoman Stacey Plattsett the first time. She's sitting in a hearing with Jim Jordan. And, you know, everybody knows a good Jim Jordan. And he says something and she made just a remark back to him. And it was on Twitter. So I'm sitting along the wall with, you know, as her communication director, listening to her do this. And she said, check your text. And I looked, she said, we're going viral. I'm like, viral? What do you mean? So I go to Twitter, and we maybe had 4,000 followers that day. After this viral thing that she did, we had like 100,000 followers within 24 to 48 hours. And then so we had to think quickly, how are we going to utilize this to our benefit? Not to up to the Congresswoman's her street cred or her publicity or being famous, but how can it help her constituents? How can this help the people down the line? Because this doesn't happen to everybody at one time. But I had no idea what to do, but we had to sit down and think about it. But I knew one thing was it had to be thought out. We didn't want to gain 40,000 real quick or 100,000 and lose them real quick. Yeah. We had to play it, you know. So you have to think about that. And communication changes every day. You got to keep your head on a swivel. There's something new communication-wise that comes out every day. And my advice to some folks when they're in the executive level is to hire these young ones that know social media and know how they communicate in a different way. And they get to people that you want to get to, because everybody wants to get to everybody. But you know, when you get to this young generation knows how to get to everybody, from young, medium age to the senior citizens. They know how to do it. But also, when you bring them in for communication, teach them about the business that you're doing. and why you're doing it. So they can learn that aspect of it too. Don't just keep them in a silo. You want people that can be, have been communications director, but now you're a CEO. You know, now you're chairman of someone's board. You're running a nonprofit. You know, but you have this background that you know the communications part of it because you're going to think like that. So whoever you hire to do your comms, your communication team is going to be smart because they already know we can't fool the person up top because they've been where we're at. Mm. You know? So we got to be real and we got to outthink him because you're always going to be thinking like that too. But from now you have another, you know, some more on your plate to deal with running a company or doing something like that. But you got to know how to put people in proper places with that you hire that are under you or that work for you because they're going to be off, they're going to be an extension of you and what you need to get done, you know?
I mean, I think that, and I think that goes doubly so. So comms people need to understand the business line. HR teams, you know, HR is not the run of the mill paper processing function anymore. It's not. Right. It's very intentional, very strategic and talent acquisition. So, but you need to understand the business line. Yeah. Whatever role you are within the organization, I can tell you, it only benefits you to understand what the organization does and how specifically your role helps those individuals. And if you do that, then you can also more effectively communicate to those individuals and the people who bring in the money why your position and why what you're doing is actually helpful. And they'll love you for that.
Yeah. It's an interesting place to be right now when it comes to communication. And I tell people, you got to look at the yin and the yang of things. From every now and then, what I do is my father told me this about the news. He had us at least watch 30 minutes a day of world news because it showed you everything that was going on in the world in 30 minutes, what's happening here in America and overseas or somewhere else in 30 minutes. If anything, that's what you do. And that's how I got into, you know, the news. And now with news being 24/7, it's so interesting because I am a CNN, MSNBC kind of person, but I watch Fox News every now and then just to see what they're saying. And let me tell you, Fox News, and not trying to give them a plug, or they have great presentation, great, great production. Because if I watch them all day, I will understand what they're saying. But then you have your CNN and MSNBC, and it's sensory overload. I mean, it used to be where you got your news by reading in the paper on the radio. Yeah. Yeah. But now it's everywhere. So you got to be able to know how to desensitize yourself from things that can distract you from running your business, you know, because sometimes your business might be in the spotlight, but sometimes you might want your business not in the spotlight. So you got to kind of think about it. But you got to know everything that's going on from every parameter, especially if you're a global organization. Yeah. You got to know everything that's going on in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, and places like that. And if you're, you know, if you're here, you're a Fortune 500 or something in the United States, you got to know what's going on the East Coast, West Coast, the North, the South, you know, in the different places like that. You just have to know. So, yeah.
So I want to ask you a question about your other life because you have another hat. But I want to also just really quickly tap onto this. So you're talking about staying connected, understand what's going on. You're talking about focusing. You're also talking about focusing, knowing, you know, what is the noise and where do you actually need to be focused your energy? Your job is now in the Virgin Islands. How are you feeling? And what has that been like to transition away from DC to Virgin Island?
Well, it's definitely, you know, everybody say it's like night and day. It's been like night and day, but in a good way. You know, I'm in a place that's called paradise, America's paradise. And it's indeed that, but it's definitely on a couple of levels, it's totally opposite of DC. Socially, the social scene in DC is always something to do. You have happy hours, you have receptions, you have concerts in town, you have things like that. In St. Croix, the U.S. Virgin Islands, it's very mellow, it's very quiet. Everything kind of shuts down at 9. The power might go out on you at some point, and you just don't, you know, you're kind of. So I told myself, you know, I always wanted to live off the grid, kind of. But not completely off the grid. Yeah. And so St. Croix is one of those places that's sort of like you're off the grid, but you're not. I mean, the last flight out of here is like at 9 o'clock at night. Then you're here for the next day at least before you can go. Like I say, the power might just go up. But also it's good for you know, mentally. Yeah. I get a lot of time to, as opposed to having to go out to receptions and things like that, I get time to come home and sit down and think. You know, all I can hear is the water from the ocean, the waves crashing, and I get to think. And, and D.C. is a great place to be. But like I said, sometimes it'll eat you up and spit you out. But it also, it's a lot going on that you have to deal with. And some people, and that's good for some people. But sometimes after a while, you just want to sit back and relax and look at things and think about what your next move is going to be. Because like I say, it's like a chess game. And you can't be in the same place at one time. You got to think about a move, your next move and what you want to do. And so I kind of saw at the time, I've been with the government for over 20 years. And so I kind of came over under the old retirement system. So I'm sort of at the point where I can decide if I kind of want to retire and pivot to another space, or what do I want to do? And I've had a lot of time to think about that. And today I had an epiphany that, Alex, I always wanted to be a teacher. I've always wanted to teach. And so I was thinking, if I get to maybe possibly retire and then go and do whatever I kind of wanted to do, what about teaching? I have a sister that's a teacher, phenomenal teacher in Georgia. Yeah. And I always told them I would love to be a teacher, but they didn't pay enough at the time. Mm-hmm. But now, I called the Department of Ed here and I told them what I was wanting to do. They were like, excellent, because they don't get people that say they want to come and teach. And I want, so I'm thinking about pivoting to that. And then I'm also, last time we talked about writing a book. I mean, I think people need to kind of know, not just about, it's not about me. It's about what I went through and what I've been through and how I got to where I'm at. I think it's just a great, it's just good. It might not be good for everyone, but someone can read it and understand kind of where I'm coming from, because I'm not the only one that's took this route. I know I'm not. You know, a lot of people think they're the only one that's done certain things. You might not have done it exactly the same way, but we've been in the same situation. And I think it's just people, we need to kind of know that, because DC is a great place. Right now it's very volatile right now. I mean, from the politics to the crime in the city, it's a tinder box right now. Yeah. And so we got to get more people that want to go to DC to make change for real and go to other places. Once you leave there, learn what you can learn in DC and take your talent somewhere else, because it's needed across not just the country, but the world.
And I wanted to specifically ask you that question because I figured you'd go that route, and I want everyone to hear this and really, really pay attention to this. Wherever you are in the world, generally speaking, your life is probably moving fast. And it's probably going faster and faster and faster because of the advent of new technologies. It is very important. It's extremely valuable that you take the time to slow down. Take some time to think. And Mike had these epiphanies as he was talking about because he had some time to quiet his mind. Like, again, I'm just as ambitious as the next person who's trying to reach those levels. But even I, every single year, I take a week, generally 2 weeks, actually. My wife and I cancel all. We have no meetings scheduled. We go off to do our own business retreat. My wife and I own our business, and then we plan. We reflect on what we did that year. We think about what we want to do the next year, and then we just spend some quiet time with ourselves. So I wanted to put that out. But then I now want to really quickly pivot to the other question I have for you.
Yes, sir.
You started off with saying you had a job that most people I hate that job, which is the politics thing. But you also have another job that most people hate, which is lobbyists. And so I need you to explain what a lobbyist is, because most people have no idea what a lobbyist is.
So a lobbyist is the opposite of a legislative assistant or someone who handles legislation really on Capitol Hill. What you're doing is, as a lobbyist, companies come to, it's about influence. It's about access. A lobbyist has a lot of influence. A lobbyist will have a lot of access. 9 times out of 10, lobbyists used to work in some form of government at some point. And they flipped it to the other side where they're coming to their lobbyists. And instead of companies coming to talk to them, and when they worked in the government, they're the ones that's going to talk to the people in the government about a certain company. But what's good about a lobbyist is that they can have multiple interests. Sometimes when you're on Capitol Hill, you're a staffer, you only deal with maybe, healthcare or military or defense or something like that. Lobbyists can have a defense company as a client. They can have someone in the healthcare as a client, a healthcare company. They can have someone that's doing athletics, anything. You could be an agent for a athlete. So what a lobbyist is lobbyist is someone who they kind of, you know, in a way they kind of help the legislative assistants and people that are on the legislative side and offices get the, you know, get the language in that they need to get through. And, you know, one good thing is that it's called fundraising, and lobbyists have political action committees, what I call PACs. So sometimes one of these at receptions, members have fundraisers, and they're sort of at after work, considered receptions. And I might, as a lobbyist, have to go to this reception, but I give the member of Congress a $1,000 check. Not for anything nefarious or anything like that, but it's just to let them know that, hey, I came to talk to you. We might need to get that letter signed. And, you know, it might help. It might, that might help. And it might not help. Let me just be honest with you. It's not a pay-for-play place up there. It's not supposed to be like that. But lobbyists are very influential, but they usually start. You have communications lobbyists. You have lobbyists that deal with just healthcare and things like that. But lobbyists come from very different backgrounds. But that is sort of like where the money is, because you're giving out a lot of money, but you're making a lot of money too by the influence and the access you have. A lot of lobbyists get hired, especially from Capitol Hill, because they have access. Who do they have access to? Members of Congress. And that goes a long way. And it's not necessarily members of Congress. They have access to the members of Congress staff, which is important.
So basically, you are like Remy from House of Cards.
Exactly. Yeah. And the House of Cards, let me tell people, I didn't mean to cut you off again. It is the only show that came as close as I've ever thought it would be to Washington Capitol Hill. I was sitting there watching like, this is my work. And the premise of that, it tells you one thing. I looked at as a Capitol Hill staffer, worked for members of Congress. You're not that powerful as a member of Congress until you have an office in the Capitol. In the Capitol. Now you get an office outside in one of the House office buildings, but when you're in a leadership position, that's where all it goes down. That's where it goes, just like House of Cards. And it was incredible how they captured that. It was incredible.
Anyone who hasn't watched that show and you're interested to understand how DC works or how Washington works, like, you want to watch that show, because I don't know about the later episodes, all the different later seasons. Yeah. I didn't catch all those.
I stopped at like season three, because sometimes you don't watch anything past that because it's going to make the way you think of it just not be good. And I was like, well, you can't get rid of the president like that. You can't. It didn't pivot to this. And I'm like, no, because let me tell you, Alex, honestly, some of the storyline that they got, they were talking to somebody that was on Capitol Hill, because some of that was true to what we were going through in real life. Mm-hmm. And it was happening in real time. And that goes to show you how social media and everything communication-wise, this media has all changed quickly, because they were getting real information. We were like, wait a minute. This is how it really had to go down. You're just changing up the characters and the names, mm-hmm. but the bills and the things that they were going through and the prices and stuff was the same. It was true.
The reason why I really wanted to ask that question before we wrapped up today was that I think lobbyists, as so many different professions, get a really bad name. And people are like, oh, those damn lobbyists. The lobbyists are bad. Blood-sucking lobbyists. And I'm like, yeah, but lobbyists are the ones who fight for Social Security. They fight for your railroads. They fight for your health care. They fight for the local school board. It's like literally any issue that needs to be fought
lobby
for, there's a lobby for it.
Listen, Alex, I mean to catch up, but the porn industry has a lobbyist. You know, the marijuana industry has a lobbyist. Everyone has a lobbyist, and I sometimes you have to tell people that, then they get the picture, because everybody has issues that they need to be helped with. Yep. So every industry has something like that. You got to think about it. So it's anybody can, not anybody, but you can be a lobbyist. And if it's an industry that you fight for and you believe in, I guarantee you there's an association for that. Yep. And they need a lobbyist. Think about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I say on that is I like to think of lobbyists, and maybe I'm just being, you can tell me I'm being too naive, as, oh my God, I'm going to say this. As teachers, their job is to educate the members and the staff on a particular topic, and even, like you said, provide language at times. Say, hey, look, if you want to help this group or these groups of people, this constituency, here's the language that would actually work for this situation. So I see them as educators.
And you're educating people who consider sometimes they're the smartest people in the world, and they're supposed to be experts on this. but you're bringing something unique to them. And that, that lets people think that, hey, there's more to this than that. And you bring a unique perspective to it.
Yep.
And then, you know, it's something very small like that could change the world, you know, or change people's lifestyles.
And last thing I'll say on that is that, again, this I was in this world for too long, basically. I have a dog in a fight. You got to remember, that Congress people, they're, you know, 100 senators, they have to make decisions on everything.
Yes.
Right. And you can't be an expert in everything.
No, you can't.
The way this country runs is by those staffers, the lobbyists, and other groups that help feed information, because there is absolutely impossible for members to know, be an expert on everything.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And, you know, it's incredible. You know, we're working on Capitol Hill. It's a lot of people that would love to work on Capitol Hill. And it's a very minute number of us that get the chance to work up there. And so I never take it for granted. I never take it for granted where I started at, where I worked at. Because at any time, you know, you could see anybody. It was nothing for me to see Nancy Pelosi walking in the hall, or Charlie Rangel, or John Lewis, or John Conyers. You know, I got to see them almost every day. And it was, you know, I never took that for granted. And I enjoy, and I still enjoy, everything that Capitol Hill and Washington, D.C. has to offer. I do. It's just a little bit better down here where it's always sun and, you know, a little rain, and it's a beach not too far away, and you get to think. You know, it's a good trade-off. And sometimes you got to think about what's option B, or where I want to go next. And sometimes you got to think out the box, and sometimes you got to just sit there and let it happen and let it come to you.
Brother, look, I know you got to jump off. Yeah, jump on the line with President Biden. So really quickly, is there any final thoughts, ideas, anything you'd like to share with the audience as we begin to wrap up?
Yeah, of course. I just want to tell everyone, don't be afraid to take chances. You know, don't, especially later on in your life, because, you know, you're living your life for a reason, but it's every day is not going to be the same. Sometimes you got to just think out the box and, you know, just take a leap of faith and go and do it. And I was one of those people who just always admired people who did things just spontaneously or things like that. And so sometimes when opportunities come to you, you don't have long to think about it. So sometimes just think about it as quickly as you can, but think about the good and bad, think about the positives and the negatives, and make a quick decision, because then that's how you start deciding things later on when it comes work-wise. You'll think quickly, but you'll be fast about those thoughts. And don't be afraid to ask people for advice. You know, I'm still at my age, I am reaching out to people about these next moves I'm about to make, and ask them, how do they do it? What advice do you have for me? You're never too old to receive advice, good or bad. You have to know the decipher between the two. And also, just always look out for the next generation. Mm-hmm. There's someone out there that's like you, that just needs someone to, hey, you know, give them a little push. But you can't bring everybody. You just can't. Sometimes you got to pick one or two. And if you see a special light in someone, you know, take them under your wing. Everybody that comes to intern does not come to be a communications person. Some of them come to be legislative, but you got to find that one that has a special niche about something. Take them under your wing and make sure they get to learn all of that and see if that's something they like. And that'll take them a long way.
Mike, thank you so much for everything you shared today. You've been just a phenomenal guest tonight. I'm looking forward to staying connected with you, because I need some of that access. Again, you are a phenomenal individual. See, everyone, I told you was phenomenal. Would I ever lie? Everyone, you know where I'm about to go with this. If you found this conversation, this journey, this exploration of Mike's journey, if you found it of value, don't just look back, reach back. As Mike said, bring someone else to the table. Look around and see who has that twinkle in their eye that you can say, hey, look, this helped me. And I promise you it'll help you. And as always, as Mike was talking about, and consistently, how important it is to build relationships, how important it is to gain that access so you have the ability to be in the room when those decisions are made, so you can ensure that your community, your division, your programs have the resources and the access required to be successful. And if those things are important to you, I strongly recommend that you purchase your copy of Relationships That Work today. You can find the information, the link for it in the bio. You can go to Amazon, Relationships That Work. Alex Trumbull. It's there. I promise you this is going to be a resource that you can't put down. Well, you put it down because then you got to go do something, right? You don't want to just read it. Yeah, put it down and go do it. So as always, I encourage everyone, stay strong, stay positive, and definitely stay moving. See ya. Thanks for listening to The Executive Appeal with Alex Trumbull. I invite you to follow The Executive Appeal wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow me, your host, Alex Trumbull, across all socials or via email for exclusive webinars, courses, and speaking engagements on continued topics of executive leadership. So until next time, stay strong, stay positive, and definitely stay moving.